Chapter 52 Ephraim Pale Rain. Snow no longer falls over Olympia. The morning is bright as I walk the fluffy white streets. I needed to be away from Eagle Rest. It's been 4 hours since I descended the stairs, and I still can't walk off the meaty scent of blood and manure from Valdir's murder of God-Eater. It doesn't take long for passing machines to ruin the snow. Sounds of industry clatter through the city. Reds, who once languished in assimilation camps, work on floating construction skiffs, repairing the city in Sephi's bid to restore Olympia's grandeur. They're doing a hell of a job. While Quicksilver pocketed the money from his helium, Sephi pours it into Cimmeria. Their rule is absolute. Their executions of Red Hand terrorists, public and brutal, but they're spreading the wealth around. Lines of reds and low colours, fresh from the countryside, snake out from labour registration facilities. Each is given lodging, a fair salary, and a sense of purpose they've not had in years. Many mid-colours now work for Sephi as administrators. Others are left alone to make money however they see fit, so long as the obsidians get a piece. The city is coming back to life. I don't feel that same optimism. Sephi may be good for Mars, for Lyria's people, but not for Volga. Or is it not my choice to make? Markets which were home to vagrants and bonfires when I arrived now bustle with new shops full of produce from southern Cimmeria, fish from the Thermic, textiles from Magia, exotic wares from the core. Obsidians walk alongside silvers and browns and coppers and reds. It isn't utopia, but it isn't war either. Sephi's dream is coming alive. It's been weeks since the last Red Hand bombing. Before his breakdown, Valdir had steadily been chasing them from their strongholds up to the highlands. Some say even across the sound. It will all break apart when Sephi dies. I can't let her bring Volga into this, but so long as the Julii still has her, I have to play along with Sephi's game. She knows she has me on a leash. A red boy tries to pickpocket me near a gambling den. I clout him on the ears and then show him proper technique by stealing the chronometer of a passing silver. I flip it to the boy and tell him to make his hands move smooth as a chronometer if he wants to keep them. He stares at me after I tousle his hair. "You're Ephraim T. Horn," he says. "Am I?" I look instinctively for Syndicate Thorns and laugh when he spits on my jacket. "Hail Reaper," he cries and tries to punch me. I yelp and backpedal when I see more reds coming to investigate. I lose them by ducking into a brothel. My nose curls at the familiar smells, and I fend off the madam until the reds pass. I think it was a bloody lynch mob. Reaper's people are damn mad. Having lost my taste for a walk, I make for the long climb up the Bologna stairs back to Eagle Rest. I'm almost trampled by two reds running past. No manners at all. Am I back in Hyperion? Then I notice a change in the foot traffic. Those with data pads or optic implants stand fixated on their internal and external screens. Others rush for bars or the All Tribes' new multimedia stations. Even a uniformed obsidian watchman and his red partner let a shoplifter loose to drift toward a window. I fall in behind them. Light from a hologram of a space battle splashes through the window. It's the Pandora. She's under attack. I sprint back to the stairs. The Pandora fell to ships bearing All Tribe colours at 09:30 Olympia time. The sky rained bodies not long after. I caught the battle in flashes through the windows as I raced home. I watched the bodies on my datapad after I passed Eagle Rest security. The bodies were stripped naked and dumped over Aegea at high altitude. In the sunlight, the pale rain of corpses looked almost elegant, like human-shaped feathers twirling through the air. Their fall could almost be mistaken for flight until they collided with Aegea's skyhooks and skyscrapers and parks and paved boulevards and white stone plazas and the roof of Lighthold, like 100,000 bugs on a windshield. The corpses were dropped by 4 All-Tribe troop carriers. 2 are shot down by the time I make it to the Skoogie training armory. By the time I'm kitted up in scarab skin and skip boots, belted with gear and laden down with a huge insulated carry box for the neodymium magnet, new drones have caught footage of an obsidian brave in an All-Tribe uniform being dragged out of the third ship by aerial commandos. They'll think Sephi ordered the attack. But why in Jove's name would Sephi attack Victra? She wouldn't. It had to be Volsung Far. He's got Sephi's number, setting up a war. Volga was likely one of those bodies dropped over Aegea. The thought almost sends me into a downward spiral, but I can't let it distract me. Without Volga, Sephi has no leash on me. She'll freeze my movement. She'll trap me in the sinking ship. Worse, she'll trap the kids. And from what I've seen of Volsung Far, he has a plan, and it's escalation. With the tensions between the Republic as they are, this will be war if they buy that the All-Tribe was in on this. That means the kids become real hostages. So I gotta get them out. And my window for exit is quickly closing. That kid better be wearing his harness under his clothing. I didn't get him that garage just to tinker with grav bikes. I take care to choose Spider Paralytic from the designer rounds and fit a magazine into my pistol, then throw on my jacket, loop a pack of explosives under my arm, and run to the snowball to attach the hook Pax made in the garage to the back of the landing ramp. Oh, this will be nasty. I pick my gear back up. Grania, a man says from behind. I turn. Goodkind, Freyhill's replacement as Vinkir of the Skoogie, stands in the doorway of the hangar. 2 of my cleverest Skoogie flank him. Grania, he calls without aggression. The Queen commands your presence. You're to join her in the Western Bunker. There it is. Sephi's soldiers won't mean me harm, but she'll never let me go out of her sight with the kids again. I have to act now, while I still have access to my ship. When Goodkind sees my scarab skin, the neodymium carry case, and the bag of explosives, his hand drifts towards his poison-edged throwing knives. The other 2 Skoogie frown and turn the safeties off their pulse rifles. They're confused. They just wanted to bring me to their queen. Sorry, lads, it's not personal. I get the drop on them, but damn, they're fast. In one fluid motion, I grab my pistol in its holster, fall flat on my back to minimize my exposure, and push my toes down on the pressure pads. The skip boots release an impulse that shoves me into a 10-meter backward slide. I fire 3 times through the holster. Goodkind's knives skim centimeters above my nose. The pulse rifle rounds pound into the hangar walls behind me. I stand up. All 3 Skoogie are rigid as boards from the paralytic slugs embedded in their foreheads. And then they teeter over, drooling foam. I strip their comms, and as I bound on the skip boots like a grasshopper, I apologize. I know you're just following your queen's orders, but this boat's going down. As I plant the explosives on the southern landing pad, I watch Mars go mad. The Republic news channels froth with anger and racial vitriol at the attack on the Pandora. They claim it was Sephi's version of poetic irony. The rain on Mercury claimed 1 million obsidians. Here is Sephi's rain, on the home of Lionheart and the Reaper, on the capital of the Rising, the revenge of the Cold Bloods, the inevitable pestilence of their nature. The world outside churns by the time I make it to an overlook of the training ludus. The children aren't at their lessons. I don't have access to their safety protocols for obvious reasons, but if Seffi is in the west bunker, they will be headed there too. Going aerial is dangerous with soft targets, so they would have taken the tunnels that emerge in the western statue park just near the bunker. I can beat them there if I fly. Oh, Hades, I'm going to die. My mind races as I bound up marble steps and across snowy courtyards. It wasn't the old tribe in those ships. It had to have been Azkomani. They're trying to start a war. Volga was in a cell. If they boarded, there's almost no chance she escaped. I see her falling in that rain over Aegea, her bones turning to splinters on the concrete roads. This is the worst time for the insurance plan. I thought I'd have more warning when things started going south. Maybe I should have left the second Far showed up, or when Valdir went berserk. I waited too long. There'll be too many of them. I holster my guns and clutch the neodymium box tighter. Against a pack of armored obsidian, a pistol won't do much. The exponential escalation has begun between the Republic and All Tribe. Seems the Republic is eager to blame the obsidians for the attack. I hear it in the rip-wing engines lifting off from high mountain hangars, in the thunder of metal boots, in the drums beating in the army camps west of the city. I see it in the throngs of mid and low colours the obsidians herd away from sensitive areas, and in the metal glinting in the sky as orbital fleets prepare for a Republic response. Damn it, Seffi, don't strike first at them. This is what Far wants. Volsung Far isn't a barbarian like I initially thought. If he organized the attack on the Pandora, he's trained in regime destabilization. It's textbook. Sooner or later, some nervous finger will twitch, or Far will play another card. Then the dominoes fall and the nukes go off. This is how a world ends. I won't sit here and wait for it. I'm too late to set up the neodymium magnet. I spot the children in the center of a cluster of Valkyrie, making their way across a statue park toward the western bunker. The female warriors each wear 60 kilograms of pulse armor, grav boots, and full complements of weapons. Their helmets are up. Shit, there goes any chance at Sonics. In battle, they could take a whole century of grey legionnaires, but this isn't a battle, and the last thing I want is to kill them. My legs burn as I close the distance to the Valkyrie. I shift to Ghost Cloak and activate the bombs on the southern landing pad. They're just big enough to break windows and make huge mushrooms of smoke. Sirens wail. The tactical response teams on deck in the heights of Griffinhold deploy like meteors toward the pad and away from me. I activate the Snowball's autopilot and initiate its flight path. Back in the hangar, it will rumble over the paralyzed bodies of Gudkind and the two other Skugi. The Valkyrie pick up speed, shoving the children between them. Damn it, this box is heavy. The Valkyrie's helmet optics will spot me now, despite the ghost cloak. I'm still 40 meters out. There's no trick that'll work on them. No clever lie to interrupt their orders. All they'll see is warped motion sprinting toward them. Statues explode around me, throwing off the Valkyrie's pulse rifles as the ghost cloak distorts their readouts of the debris. Two Valkyrie pop airborne. Oh, shit. I jump as high as I can on the skip boots, an ungainly 10 meters. I hurl the neodymium box at them. They think it's a bomb. They shoot it mid-air, melting the insulation and freeing the griffin egg-sized magnet. It bowls straight into Braga on the ground, or at least I think it's Braga in that armor. There's a tug on my belt buckle as a magnet activates. The magnetism increases. Two airborne obsidians dip Their grav boots' thrust capability far exceeds the magnet's force. But the metal components inside the boots' gravity generators come apart under the shearing forces. The women fall, pinwheeling out of the sky. The other Valkyrie lose their footing and weapons as they're pulled toward the high-powered magnetic field in a knotted ball of 12 confused killing machines. Tiny explosions crackle around the ball of obsidians as gas-powered munitions rupture. I land hard on the ground, damaging my boots' shocks, and spring one more time. The boots come apart mid-air from the magnetism as I land near Pax and Electra. I scream as something tears loose from inside my calf muscle and stretches my scarab skin. There's a second pop in my chest, a hot needle of pain. I watch in horror as a small cylinder strains against the inside of my scarab skin, like a parasitic alien seeking the magnet. What is that? I take a wobbly step. The world is going sideways. Pax runs to me as the magnet loses power. He catches me as I fall. This is not going according to plan. The obsidians are lurching like gout victims away from the magnet's diminishing pull. Pax looks at something over my head and shouts at Electra. They tear off their jackets to reveal the harnesses he built for them in the garage. The harnesses are built according to the specs I gave him, simple but sturdy, secured through the legs and around the hips. A spool of fiber wire sits like a fishing reel at their belly buttons. They link the ends of the fiber wire together and inflate the helium sac at the junction. They rise 50 meters in the air, unspooling the fiber wire as they rush to separate themselves. There's a roar overhead as a snowball rumbles along its programmed course. Its catchhook hangs from its belly and snags the joined fiber wire strands. The reels unspool. Pax runs over to me and hugs me like a koala as a fiber wire tightens and all three of us are pulled off our feet and carried after the snowball as it climbs away from Eagle Rest. It all goes woozy. Deja vu as the mountains blur under my feet and the Valkyrie set off in pursuit. Their boots will never catch the snowball. I'm laughing and wheezing by the time the hook retracts us into the back of the ship. Pax disappears, and Electra peels off my scarab skin. Rip wings will be in pursuit. Electra grabs the medkit from the wall, and I watch her face as she pulls a metal cutter from the wall and lowers it with narrow eyes toward my chest. What is she doing? I feel numb vibrations. Did she give me morphone? Is that my sternum she's cracking open? Smoke sizzles up from my chest. She sprays a coagulant. The artificial gravity in the ship increases dramatically, sealing us to the floor as Pax puts us in a corkscrew. The ship vibrates as her twin railguns spew at something outside the hull. Time drips past as Electra works over me. I stare at a bit of rust on the ceiling of the garage. I'll have to scrub that out. The snowball is far too pretty a ship to have rust. When I look back down, Electra is gone. It's dark out. How much time has passed? I'm still numb from the morphone. I rise unsteadily to my feet and notice the long strip of res flesh going down my sternum. It stretches when I move too fast. I'm glued together. That'll hurt when the morphone wears off. As I stagger through the halls of the snowball to the cockpit, I remember the bodies falling over Aegir. As I pass the small kitchen and dining nook, I see Volga and me bickering over Karachi as we sail between asteroid ports. I see her lying in her bunk listening to dreadful music. I see her ducking under the low doorways, whining about hitting her head. The snowball hums around me, but it has no melody. The little dream of our life on the Lam erodes, leaving only a ship with nothing in it but the ghosts of what was never going to be. I find the two gold children in the cockpit. The snowball flies dark, all her active instruments off as she carves through a low fog layer. Only her passive sensors throb. The sea beneath is dark and choppy. They look back in shock from steaming cups of tea when I sit in the back row of the cockpit. That was lucky, Pax says. Terrible. It was fucking terrible. I groan and hold my chest. Feels like I've been kicked by a sun-blood stallion. Electra's face gets even uglier as she wrinkles her brow. How are you awake? I gave you enough morphone for an obsidian. I thumb my chest woozily. Addict. You didn't even give me a blanket. You weren't hypothermic, she pauses. Were you awake that whole time? You mean when you gleefully use a metal cutter on my sternum? Yes. Fuck me, she laughs. That's full metal. I moan at the dull ache building in my chest. I might need a real hospital, I say, probing the res flesh. What was those? Were those? Tracker in the calf, Pax says, passing back a containment jar with two metal cylinders in it. I look at my calf. Oh, it's still weeping blood. You forgot something. I extend my leg to Electra. Junos, cunt, I'm not your nursemaid. There's a staple gun in the garage. Don't be a pixie about it. You're just a lovely person. What about this one? I point to the small cylinder alongside the tracker. That, Tin Man, was a heart spike on your aorta, Pax says. So they could turn off your heart with a flick of a finger. Fuck me. I think that was the general idea. I can't believe Seffi didn't trust me, I say, genuinely upset. They laugh like I'm joking. I forget what I was going to say. Aegea? We're not going back to the Republic, Pax replies. They'll just make us wait in the Citadel. That will not do. Attaboy. He looks like a man sitting there in the cockpit. Not that he's grown, but he's definitely changed. The surety in his eyes, the set of his jaw. When did it happen? When he stopped letting others choose for him? I admire the change, even as I feel it's a loss to the world that he's no longer a boy. The world has enough men. But maybe he can be a different kind of man. Probably not. But maybe is enough. Damn it, my chest hurts. There's a tube in my arm. I pull on it. Until I see I've been trailing a blood bag. Oh, I reel it in as he continues. If Aunt Victra managed to get to an escape pod, she'll have fallen in the Northern Hemisphere. Very specific, Electra mutters. Shut up. With all the debris, the telemetry was... You shut up. You almost didn't wear your harness. Pax looks back at me. That's not true. I had to twist her ear to get her to wear hers. Teacher's pet. Troglodyte. Omniprick. Hatchet face. Electra gasps. They pout at each other in silence. I chuckle. I knew that got under your skin. Shut up, they say in unison. I just grin. If they're alive, we're going to find them, Pax says after a long silence. Them? Our people and yours, Tin Man. Like it or not, you're with us now. And we're done watching everyone else slag everything up. It's our turn. Electra gives me the fakest smile I've ever seen and sneaks me the crux when Pax isn't looking. I close my eyes, feeling a weird warmth in my chest as I sigh. What could go wrong?